We're holding on an aleph from a beis by the last Mishnah. More on person makes a neder from not to have something. What does it include and what doesn't it include? Mishnah says, "Hanodim in a cholov." Somebody makes a neder not to have milk. Mutar b'koyim. Then he's allowed to have the koyim. Now, what's koyim? So the Ran and most Mefarshim, including the Rambam, say that it means whey.
Whey.
Whey. W-H-E-Y. The liquid, the liquid part of milk, basically. When you take milk and make it into cheese or butter or whatever, you have liquid that comes out of it, the liquid part of the milk, which contains some little bit of milk solids in it. They use it a lot of time. A lot of stuff that you find nowadays that's a lot of milk or chalav stam or chalav akum, whatever you want to call them, candies and whatnot contain not actual milk but whey. So. The point seems to be that whey is not considered milk for this purpose. We'll talk about it in the Gemara.
For purposes of Nidari.
Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi says it's also. The Rivet, by the way, has a different definition. The Rivet says that koim is congealed milk, meaning, I guess, either frozen like ice cream or something, or maybe congealed like to make butter or something, whatever. And vice versa. A person makes a neder not to have koim, then he's allowed to have milk. Same idea in reverse. Somebody makes a neder not to have cheese, osuba, then he's also in any kind of cheese, being melucho, tefela, whether it's salty cheese or unsalted cheese. You shouldn't think, the point is most cheeses are salted, therefore hagvina will mean, just like we said yesterday, for example, that hakavush means dafka pickled, it means dafka pickled vegetables, and hatsoli means dafka roasted meat, etc. You shouldn't think hagvina dafka means salted cheese. No, it can mean any kind of cheese. So whether it's salted or not.
Opposite of what we said yesterday, we don't mean kavush.
Right. Again, the idea of the pashtus would be that halacha haloshim ne'adim. When it comes to kavush, a person says hakavush, he means the particular thing that people usually pickle, which is vegetables. Whereas gvina, cheese is cheese. Cheese is cheese, you know, yeah.
Cow cheese or goat cheese?
Yeah. Hanoidu b'nabbas. So somebody makes a neder not to have meat. Mutu b'roitev, he's allowed to eat the gravy of the meat. Over kefir. And what is kefir? So the Ran says that kefir is like the little flakes, the little shreds of meat that fall to the bottom of the pot. So when you put a piece of meat into the pot, yeah, there's a big chunk of meat, and then you have little bits of it that break off and then get mixed up with the gravy and all at the bottom of the pot. That's kefir. That's mutter because, when a person says buster, he means after the actual chunk of meat itself, not those little shreds. The Rambam has a different explanation of it. The Rambam says that kefir is basically the spices that go into the pot together with the meat. So even though they absorb the taste of the meat, they themselves are not meat. See, it sounds like, according to the Rambam, even the shreds of meat would be also, because the fact of the matter is they are meat, so it would only be the spices that I'm going to. Well, the Rabbi Yossi also, whereas Rabbi Yossi says, the Ran has the Gersa Rabbi Yossi, our Gersa that we have in front of us is Rabbi Yehuda also. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, so either he's defending his own position, or he's defending Rabbi Yossi, or according to the Ran, he's defending Rabbi Yossi's position. I can prove it to you. Maisa v'asar alena Rabbi Tarfon b'beisim shana spashalimai. It once happened that Rabbi Tarfon asked to us where there were eggs cooked together with the meat. So somebody had made a neder not to have meat, and Rabbi Tarfon said that he's not allowed to eat the eggs that were cooked together in the challenge with the meat either. So you see that, yes. So what are you telling me? You're allowed to eat the gravy, and you're allowed to eat the little shreds of meat or the spices or whatever. You see that. You can't eat the eggs, even though they're eggs, they're not meat, because they absorb the taste. Omer lo kena dover. So they said, yes, that's true that Rabbi Tarfon asked that, but that's not a proof. That's not a proof for the din that you're saying. Because Amos type is not shiyam a bosses there olai. Because when does Rabbi Tarfon's rule apply? Only if a person says, this meat is osur to me. The difference is, if a person just says, meat is osur to me, then it only includes things that the average person would think of as meat. The shreds of meat, let alone the eggs, are not meat. Therefore, they're not osur. But if a person says, bosur zeh, effectively what he's done is he's made this particular piece of meat as if it was a divar isur to him, as if it was chazer flesh or a piece of a carbon or whatever. So therefore, it includes anything that absorbs the taste of that. That's the difference. Basar just includes the actual meat. Basar zeh includes anything that has the taste of that isser.
Even bread that has the
taste of the meat, yeah. If he says basar zeh, yeah. Because here's a general rule. A person makes a neder from some particular thing, and it gets mixed in with other things. Also, so if it gives a flavor into the mixture, then it's also. Because again, the same principle as, for example, tereif of meat is also, and therefore anything that absorbs the taste of the tereif of meat is also, if the taste is detectable. Theoretically, what you do is you, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is you have a, in Hilchos Taro, at the beginning of Hilchos Taro, but theoretically you have a goyish, a chef taste it and see if he can taste the taste of the tereif thing, and if you can't detect it, then it's mutter. In practice, the Amar writes over there that we don't really rely on that kind of thing nowadays. We do according to shishim. If it's 60 times as much keter, then it's bop.
How do we measure shishim?
How do you figure out how much was? I mean, you have the classic case of milk that falls into a pot of meat or whatever. In this case, it's a piece of tereif meat that falls into a pot of kosher or into a pot of kosher meat. You figure out the volume of the hester, you figure out the volume of the heter, and then you figure out whether it's 60 times as much. I mean, there are complications, whether it's double lat, double yavish, but that's for our purpose, that's not really relevant. What is going to be relevant over here is whether it's the same min or different min. And in a second, we'll talk about the Ran, you can see, has a very long discussion over here about all the pros and cons of all this business.
Can you discard that min?
If you recognize it, then yeah, you just, yeah, there's all kinds of dinim. I mean, there's a whole section of Shulchan Aruch Yerodea, which is a whole section of 11 or 12 or 12 or 13 simonim that deals with these dinim of Hilchos Tereifos. Not Hilchos Tereifos, Hilchos Tarovus, rather, the dinim when one kind of thing gets mixed up in another. Yeah, there's different details. Sometimes you say you actually have. I mean, if the tereif piece is recognizable, you have to remove it. There can actually be a case where you are allowed to eat the whole mixture piecemeal, even though you know for sure you're eating the original tereif piece. There's all kinds of it's very complicated. It's not something we can easily summarize over here. In a few years' time, Beis Hashem, when we get to Masechta Chulin, is the main place where it talks about that whole concept. If you make a neder from something and it gets mixed up with other things, im yesh ba benos in tam also. So if it's able to give a flavor into the mixture, so it's not bottle shishim, in other words, then it's also. So therefore, the logic is that yes, your Tausen is saying you can't eat the eggs, but that's because it was a specific case where he said bottle zeh. As opposed to if you just said bottle generally, then you wouldn't worry about taste. You would just say meat, and you would just say anything that can be considered meat. Now, so the Ran gets into a long discussion over here about, let's consider, one of the basic concepts in Hilchos Tarovus is something called, we learned about it back in Beta, called Dover Shiesh Lematirin. If you have, normally we say that an Isser can be bottle and heter if you have 60 times as much, or the taste is not, whatever, if the taste is not detectable. But there's an exception. One of the exceptions to that is if it's a Dover Shiesh Lematirin, if it's something which there will be a heter for it. Classic example of Dover Shiesh Lematirin, for example, is an egg that was laid on Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, it'll be mutter. Therefore, even if it gets mixed up with other eggs, or you don't say it's bottle. I mean, your eggs can't be bottle, unless they're Dover Shiesh Minyan, but whatever, even if it was cracked and mixed with other ones, you would still say. So Rashi gives the explanation there in the Sefer Beta. The logic behind it is, why do we say Dover Shiesh Lematirin is not bottle? The logic is, look, I mean, why are you going, instead of going and eating it when it's still also, you may as well wait until it's mutter and eat it then. Who says you have to have to eat those eggs now on Yom Tov? Wait till after Yom Tov, then there won't be an Isser, and then you're able to eat it the heter. Now, so the Ran discusses like this. Nedarim is, on the face of it, the Dover Shiesh Lematirin, because you have heter Nedarim. So that being the case, then, what are we talking over here about bittul? That if it gives, only if it gives the flavor, is it also, and if not, then it's mutter.
There's no shishim in Dover Shiesh.
That's the point. Dover Shiesh Lematirin, the rules of 60 don't apply. The rules of bittul don't apply. So then, what are we talking about over here about bittul? The fact that you're able to be mocked through the nether should make that it's also no matter what. So according to Rashi's explanation, we did Rabbanan. According to the Ran's explanation that we're going to say soon, it may be there's an issue d'oraisa. So let's get into it. Okay. So now the Ran starts out by arguing that maybe based on the Yerushalmi, based on his Girsa, the Yerushalmi, why are we saying over here? So one thing is there is a difference. There is a difference in in Hilchos Tarubis, and in the halachas of kosher and shefer, substances being mixed together, there's a difference between min b'minoy or min b'she'enoy minoy, where the two things are of the same type or of two different types. An egg is not like meat, right. So first the Ram starts off by saying then that maybe the idea is, when do we say that Dabar Shiesh Matirin is not bottle, only if it's min b'minoy, only if it's the same type of thing mixed in. Since there's no time anyway, then you're master on that. Whereas if it's min b'shein and minoy, don't be more master than a regular case. Go ahead and say that's mutter if there's no taste of it. So therefore the logic would be over here, if the eggs don't have the taste of meat, then you'd be allowed to eat them. Then it says a different meaning. However, the Ram says the problem with that is that we have the Rif, who the Rif discusses in Chulin, where the Gemara, which is the main place where the Gemara discusses the whole concept of Hilchos Tarubis and the business of Davar Shiesh L'Matirin and so forth. And he mentions in connection with, he talks about a case, what happens if you bake bread in the same oven as you're roasting meat? So the bread absorbs some of the flavor and some of the taste of the meat, and therefore the din is or it doesn't really absorb the flavor; it only absorbs the smell. Nevertheless, there is right. You're not allowed to eat that bread with milk. Why? It's a davar shiesh l'matirin. Because who says you have to eat it with milk? Who says you have to eat it with milk? Eat it with meat instead, or eat it in a pirate meal. There's no, you don't, again, based on the logic, why should you have to eat it with the opposite type of food and run into potential problems? Better, you should just eat it with the same type of food it was roasted with or as prior, and you won't have an issue. Now, it's bread and meat, that's min b'shein and minoy. So you see that even by min b'shein and minoy, if it's davar shiesh l'matirin, then you still apply the same thing. Okay, so the Ram goes into a bit of discussion about it. There's also...
Does the Rif hold of that concept?
Well, that's obviously the Rif has to hold the Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. That's something in the Gemara. The Rif can't argue with it. So far we have, in other words, all Gemara seems to indicate, according to the beginning, saying that the Ram is saying that there's a difference whether it's the same meaning or different meaning when it comes to Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. Again, this is on the assumption that Ndorim is a Davar Shiesh L'Matirin. The Rosh actually has a different girsa in the Yerushalmi, where he says that the Yerushalmi comes out of saying that it's not considered davar shiesh l'matirin, because even though you do have heter nedarim is basically that it's different basically. I mean, you're taking away the whole neder. It's not like it was also and then it becomes mutter.
What do you mean
nedarim
has davar shiesh l'matirin when nedarim is deraita?
Of course it's deraita, but so what? Davar shiesh l'matirin means that there's a way to make it mutter. The same principle as an egg that's laid on Yotzer, where the Gemara discusses at the beginning of Beitza the possibility that the Isser on it is Deraisa, and it's considered Davar Shiesh L'Matirin, because after Yotzer it'll be Mutter. And the same, I mean, you have other examples also. Another example, Davar Shiesh L'Matirin is Tevel, for example. We'll learn about that later in the next Perek, where you're able to take Truma from it. There's a lot of examples of Davar Shiesh L'Matirin, where the original Isser and then the resulting Heter are all Deraisa. Anyway, so the Rosh has a different girsa of the Yerushalmi. So he holds differently than the Ran. But going back to what the Ran is saying, so far we have that on the one hand, when it comes to the egg in the meat, it seems that it should be considered davar shiesh l'matirin. Why would we be saying it's mutter if it doesn't have a taste of meat only because min b'shein and minoy? But the Rif seems to be saying that even min b'shein and minoy, you still apply davar shiesh l'matirin. You still say it's osur. And you have one more Gemara that bears on this, which is at the end of Beitza. The original thing of Davar Shiesh L'Matirin is at the beginning of Beitza in connection with the egg. At the end of the Masechta, the Gemara also talks about Davar Shiesh L'Matirin in connection with the Dinim of Tchumen. We learned at the end of Beitza, about a year ago, that objects have a tchum just like their owner. So just like the owner of a person is not allowed to walk outside their tchum on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, so anything that they owned at the beginning of Shabbos or of Yom Tov is not allowed to go outside their tchum. One example of it talks about that if you have a woman is making dough, so she has flour of her own, she borrows water and salt for her dough from the neighbor. The bread is only allowed to go in any area that both of them in common have as a common tchum. So if a woman walks 2,000 amos to borrow water and salt for her dough, for example, that dough is considered, it's blended from both of their contributions. Therefore, it's only going to be able to go within that restricted distance that both of them are allowed to travel. Now, water and salt are not the same thing as the flour, it's mid-mashen and minoy. And there we see again that Dabba Shiesh Lamat, and the Gemara explains there that Dabba Shiesh Lamat here. Otherwise, we would have said they're bottle. So these are the three different Gemaras and three different things that come into play over here. What the Ran ends up arguing, he has a long discussion where he gets into like this. The whole concept, the whole difference between whether it's the same min or a different min is really it's machlokas in a number of places in Shas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which also appears on our Mishnah over here where Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing. Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'minoi is not bottle. So whereas the Chachamim hold even min b'minoi can be bottle. Rabbi Yehuda learned it from a case over there we learned in Yuma involving where you mix the blood of the par and the blood of the sawyer that I brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where even though the par had much more blood than the sawyer, nevertheless the sawyer's blood maintains its own independent existence. So you see that min b'minoi is not bottle. That's how Rabbi Yehuda holds. So the Ran explains like this. The Chachamim basically agree with the underlying thing is the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that there could be a case where one thing is not mevatel another. But they say to him, rather than you're looking at it at the physical realities of the things, one's blood and the other's blood, one's meat and the other's meat, etc., don't look at that as far as determining whether it's the same mean or a different mean. Look at their status in halacha. If one of them is osur and one of them is mutter, then we'll consider them two different meanings. And therefore, if they're two different minim, one can be bottle, even you, Rabbi Yehuda, agree that
some
that. For example, our example over here, the meat is also the egg is mutter. Therefore, the Chachamim would argue, and that's the kind of case where we say, that's the kind of case where we can apply the rules of bittul. Whereas if both of them are mutter, for example, then we agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that they're both considered the same min. Now, so what happens over here in the case of Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin? Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin is, right now it's Osir, but it will become Mutter. Therefore, after Yantav, after you take Tzurma, whatever the exact scenario is, in our case over here, after your Matir Neder, therefore, in a certain sense, they can still be considered the same min. Even though one is meat and one is an egg, but there is a certain commonality between them that eventually they will both be Mutter. Therefore, the Chachamim can hold that. Therefore, the Chachamim can say that distinction between min b'mino and min b'she'en b'mino is not necessarily valid when it comes to Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin, because the fact that they're not completely at opposite poles. It's not one is also forever and the other one is mutter forever. It's also right now, but it will become mutter later.
Right.
So therefore they can be considered the same min. So now, according to that, everything fits. So now, according to that, Ram says everything fits very nicely. In our Mishnah over here, the Chachamim are saying that the eggs are also, even though they're different min than the meat, because the meat is Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin, and therefore we say that since meat eventually has the capability of becoming mutter, because you can be Matir Neder, therefore it's considered to that extent a similar min to the eggs. And therefore, we would say that min is not bottle, but it's not bottle in the same type of thing. In the case that the riff brings about the bread that's baked in the same oven as meat, what do we say over there? He says that it's also right now you have a heter. You're able to eat it with meat. And you're able to eat it with meat, or you're able to eat it pie. Therefore, also it's considered to a certain extent mutter, just like the meat is mutter. So also the bread has a certain status of heter to it. It's only also to eat it with milk. Therefore, again, you say you don't apply bittul. You apply Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin. And in the case of borrowing water and salt for the dough, you have the idea over there that the water and salt are not bottle because. It's min b'shein emine, but again, it's Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin. It will be something that eventually becomes mutter. So the original distinction that the Ran wanted to make, even within Dabba Shiesh L'Matirin, between whether it's the same min or different minim, In the end, the Ram says that distinction really doesn't hold. It's rather the very fact that one of them is mutter right now and the other one eventually is going to be mutter, that itself creates a commonality between them. That itself creates that they're the same meat. That's according to the Chacham. And then,
in the case of the dough, what was it, the salt and...
So the flour from one person and the water and the salt from the other person. And he said the water and the salt are not bottled to the dough. And therefore it can only travel within the range.
It's bottled to the dough, isn't it?
Well, that's the idea. The Gemara says there it's not. So we apply there the rule of Dovash Yeshna Maturin, and therefore, so we don't say go ahead and take it all over your tchum. No, you can only take it in the area that you two people have in common for tchum. So that's the gist of it. I mean, the Ram goes into more into it, and then all the Rishonim and Achronim have a field day with what the Ram is saying over here, and whether why did he need to propose a different answer than what Rashi gives over there in Beitza, the idea that instead of eating at the Issu, eat at the Heter, why did he have to come up with this other idea that they have to say that they have this commonality of being the same min, and all kinds of other discussions in it as well.
Have you seen his response?
But they bring it. The Taz, for example, discusses in Hilchos Tarugus and in connection with Dovash Yeshna Maturin, he brings the Suran and discusses it at some length. So the Ram's idea is broadly accepted. It is broadly accepted. There's cases where we need Rashi. It turns out they say there's cases where we need Rashi's reason and there's cases where we need the Ram's reason. Okay, continuing the Mishnah, Hanoda min ayayin, if somebody makes a neder not to have wine, mutter b'tapshol sheyesh b'tam yayin, he's allowed to eat a cooked dish that has a taste of wine in it. Now that, on the face of it, would have to be, that would have to be only according to the Rabbanon. That would have to be only according to the Rabbanon, according to Rabbi Yosi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be also the same thing as the egg and the meat. And again, the difference is, remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whether you say that I'm making a neder from wine or from this wine, regardless, it would be also. Whereas according to the Chacham, there's a difference. If you say wine in general, it means only what people would call wine. We don't worry about taste. People don't call it wine if it's mixed into a cooked dish, into a stew. Whereas if you say this wine, then it would mean anything that's mixed into it also. If he says a konim on this wine that I taste, the nafal atapshul, and then it falls into a cooked dish, im yeshba benoit in tam, are they also? So again, the same idea. If it gives a taste to the tapshul, then it's also.
Wine does.
Yeah. Well, then it depends how much wine there's, on how much wine and how much tapshul. Oh. That's the idea. Again, the theory is that you have somebody to whom it's mutter tasted. In the case of Trefus, you would have a goyish or chef. In the case of Truma, you could have a koyin. In this case, you just have a person who's not bound by the nether. And if he detects the taste, then you'd go according to that. Not always do we rely on that, especially we don't rely on a goyish or chef nowadays, and therefore we do the 1 in 60 rule. I mean, you might mention that Holden over there, the cases, there was some of that, like Rebbe over there held that it can be bottled, that the taste can be undetectable even in less than 60, even like 45 or 47 or something. But yeah, the basic idea for most purposes is 60.
If you have perhaps shield contains one sort of wine, let's say white wine, and then red wine, according he says butter.
So then it's a different kind of wine. I mean, you didn't ask yourself in white wine in the first place.
How would you differentiate the taste?
That's not the point. The point is that if you put white wine in the tapshul, it's not awesome. If you put red wine, it'll be awesome.
Okay.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons one of the reasons why in halacha there's a difference between min b'minoy and min b'shein eminoy. Min b'shein eminoy, theoretically, since the taste is detectable or undetectable, as the case may be, then you just taste it. See, min b'minoy, there's no way to tell what the taste is. Therefore, necessarily, you have to use 60, no matter what. So it would be the same idea over here. Yeah, if a person made a neder not to have red wine, for example, and then he put white wine and red wine in the tapshul, yeah, there wouldn't be a way to tell. So then you just have to use the 60 rule. Yeah. Gemara says, Uraminu, I have a contradiction. You're telling me the beginning of the Mishnah had talked about milk and whey of milk. The Chachamim said that if you make a neder from one, you allow the other. Only Rabbi Yossi says it's also if you make a neder from milk that you can't have whey. So by the Ran and a couple of other Rishonim have a girsa over here that they have first the Braisa that quotes that says that no, that's actually that Rabbi Yossi disagrees in both cases. He says if you make a nether from milk, you're also from koim, and if you make a nether from koim, you're also from milk. So Urminu, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Minha Adoshim against that Braisa or against our Mishnah. Minha Adoshim, if a person makes a nether not to have lentils, also ba'ashishim, then he's also to eat ashishim. Ashishim, the Ran defines, he quotes from the Yerushalmi, they are lentils that are fried, lentils that are kneaded together into sort of like a dough and fried with honey. When I was in Israel for the Tanakh contest, actually towards the end of it, they had an interesting thing cooking the way they did in the time of the Tanakh. An interesting little adventure that they had, and they gave us a few recipes that people have reconstructed based on things from the Gemara. And one of them was a recipe for these ashishim. I didn't actually try it, but we didn't actually try it. But yeah. We didn't make that particular one. No, nobody made that particular dish. Whatever. Anyway. So Rabbi Yossi Matu, whereas Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter. So what are you telling me? So now Rashi, by the way, has a different definition of ashishim. Rashi's definition of ashishim, I should say, there's three different definitions that the Mefarshim have here of ashishim. Ran's definition, based on the Yerushalmi, is again, we're talking, you take actual lentils and you grind them up and mix the flour together with honey and fry them. Rashi defines it as bread which has lentil flour mixed into it. So the main thing is the bread, but it's got lentil flour mixed into it. And Tosfos and the Rosh define it as psoilos adoshim, as the waste, the residue from lentils. So I guess like the shells or whatever. Anyway, so the Tanakhama is saying that you're also to have ashishim, and Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is saying that if you make a nether from milk, you're not allowed to have koim, which is a component of milk, or it's the whey. Whereas over here, you're saying that he's mutter in ashishim, even though they're either actual lentils or at least, you know, some part of the lentil, the residue or whatever. And the Braisa even more so, because in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi is saying even the other way around, you make a nether from koim, according to the Braisa that the Quran has in his Girsa, that even if you make a nether from koim, from whey, you're also to drink actual whole milk. And yet we see over here, again, that if you that lentils and ashishim is not a problem. The answer is loikasha, mar ki asrei. Each tana is going, it's not really machlokas in the underlying halacha, it's rather each one is going according to the usage, the nomenclature that was used in his place. Ba'asri did abanan kor l'chel v'chel v'olakai makayma. In the place where the Rabbanan lived of our Mishnah, they call it milk. Koim, they call koim. So each one has a name of its own. They don't call koim of milk, for example. So there's no association. Koim of milk, said it's whey. According to most Rishonim, it means whey, and according to the Ravid, it means congealed milk. But whatever it is, it's like, you know, put it in modern terms. You know, there's milk. There's whole milk, there's 2% milk, there's skim milk, etc. All of those have the name milk in them, but then you have whey. Nobody calls it milk whey. It's just called whey. The same thing with other milk products, you know. So therefore, the idea is there's no verbal association between the milk and the koim. Therefore, you can say that if you make a nether not to drink milk, you're allowed to have koim. Because there's no verbal association between them. According to the Ravid's definition, it would be the same thing. Congealed milk, like ice cream or whatever, it's not called milk. It's not called milk cream. It's called ice cream. So same idea.
So that's for the one who goes.
So that's according to the Rabbanan. Well, that's everybody goes according to Lashon. Everybody holds. That's the point. Everybody holds according to that. The difference is, but Asri did Rabbi Yossi lekoyma nami korale koyma dechelva. In Rabbi Yossi's area, they called it whey of milk. So there was still an association between whey and milk. Whereas when it comes to the ashishim, so now you have, on one hand, there's no verbal connection between them, because when ashishim does not suggest the word adoshim, which is lentils. So the Ran says like this, actually. According to the Rabbanan, Let's see. What did he say over here? Okay, so by Adoshim and Ashishim, it's a similar idea then, that the Ashishim, the Rabbanon would say, are also, because if we say that Ashishim means waste, means the residues of the Adoshim, then they're called after the name of Adoshim. They're called after the name of the lentils. People think of them as the waste product of lentils. Therefore, they're also. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't call them by that. You don't call them by that in his area. They didn't call them by that, and therefore it's mutter. According to the Ran, what it is like this. According to the Ran, the deal is like this. The Rabbanon would say like this. When it comes to milk and whey is not milk. It's a component of milk, but it's not the actual. It's a derivative of milk, but it's not the actual thing. Ashishim, according to the Ran's definition from the Yerushalmi, that ashishim are lentils, are lentil pancakes, basically, then they are actual lentils. So it would be the same thing, as according to the Rabbanon, as saying that if you make a neder from milk, that you're not allowed to eat, that you wouldn't be allowed to eat cheese or butter. Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing, just in a different form. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, therefore, according to the Ran, we can find for the Rabbanon. We can say that in the Mishnah, they would say that whey is not the whole milk, it's only a derivative of it. Whereas Ashishim are the actual lentils, just in a different form. Whereas the question was only on Rabbi Yossi. And the answer is that that's a matter of wording. In Rabbi Yossi's area, whey was called whey of milk, so therefore it's associated with milk, therefore it's also. But Ashishim are not called by the name Adoshim. Therefore they would be mutter. And then the Rosh says it differently. The Rosh and also Tosfos say that actually the Gemara's question is really on both of them. The question is really both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi seem to be contradictory. And so the answer is, again, that it's a matter of what they call them in different places. According to the definition that Tosfos and the Rosh use, that Ashishim is the residue of lentils, then those are called residue of lentils, where they call them by the name Ashishim, but they call them Ashishim of Adoshim, of lentils. Whereas in the case of Koim, again, in the place of the Rabbanon, they only called it Koim, and in the place of Rabbi Yossi, they call it Koim of milk.
And what's the opinion of the Rosh? How is it different from the opinion of the Ran?
Well, one difference is what Ashishim are, and the other difference is the Gemara asking about is the Gemara pointing out a contradiction in the statement of the Rabbanan or only in the statement of Rabbi Yossi? According to the Ran, the Gemara doesn't need to point out that there's any problem with the Rabbanan, because you could argue that there's a difference. The Rabbanan would make a difference whether you're having the actual thing, milk in a different form as opposed to a derivative of milk, versus Ashishim, which are actual lentils. They're made out of actual lentil flour. Whereas according to the Rosh, given that Ashishim are also sort of a derivative of Adoshim, then the Gemara's question is on both of them, and the answer is a similar kind of thing. Whey is not called whey of milk, only in Rabbi Yossi's city, whereas Ashishim are called residue of lentils. Tanya, we learn in the Braisa. I'm noted in a cholov. Somebody makes a neder not to have milk, mutter b'koim, then he's allowed to have whey. Mina koim mutter b'cholov. If he makes a neder from whey, he's allowed to have milk. Mina cholov mutter b'gvina. Somebody makes a neder not to eat milk, not to drink milk, he's allowed to have cheese because it's not called by the name milk. Mina gvina mutter b'cholov. Mina roitev mutter b'kifa. Somebody makes a neder not to have the gravy of the meat, then he's allowed to eat kifa. Either again, there's a little shred of meat or the spices. Mina kifa mutter b'roitev. So each one is its own distinctive thing. However, im oma bosa zeolai, but if he says this meat is also to me, then we said anam aleph also b'ru b'roitev b'kifa. Then he's also in the meat itself, as well as the gravy and as well as the kifa, because those all have the taste of meat. And as we said on Norman Aleph, then you get into issues of tarufas, of the halachas of mixtures. Anoid bin a yayin, somebody makes a neder from wine, mutter b'tapshol shesh b'tam yayin. This is basically just recapping what the Mishnah said. Then he's allowed to eat a dish that has the taste of wine in it. Om akonim yayin zesh sheni toim, but if he says, akonim this wine that I won't taste, v'nofel osef ha-tapshol, and then any of that wine falls into the tapshol, im yesh b'tam yayin, if it has a taste of wine, how does it also? Continues the Mishnah. Hanodim in Hanovim. Somebody makes a neder not to have grapes, mutter b'yayin. Then he's allowed to drink wine. Because again, similarly, he makes a neder not to eat against olives. Then he's allowed to drink olive oil. It's just for parallelism, for the same thing. Once we mention one, we mention the other. The point of it is actually the chiddush of it is we learn in various places in Shas that really grapes and olives more than any other fruit, their juices are considered just as important as the fruit itself. Unlike other things, for example, this wine halacha, for example, grape juice and wine have a special bracha of their own, very pre-agavan. Oil, olive oil, theoretically would have the bracha bari priya eitz, except the Gemara mentions in bracha, as a practical matter, you don't drink oil by itself that's unhealthy for you, and therefore you don't make a bracha on it if you do. The only way you'd make a bracha on it is if you're mixing it with something else and drinking it. No, then you would say, hey, technically.
If it's mixed,
that's the thing. You know, the Gemara discusses how it might be that you're drinking, for example, a mixture that the Gemara calls a nigra and an axigrain, where you have olive oil mixed with various other juices. Whatever, and then you drink it, but you're drinking it mainly for the oil, let's say because you have a sore throat, then you would say, hey, son,
what about olive?
Olive oil. But other juices are not like that. We know apple juice, orange juice, all those are shahakal.
Let me ask you something. If I drink the olive oil from the pool, I have to put it
mixed. So if you're drinking it by itself, you don't, it's unhealthy for you. But this is the place to talk about it. But
what has to say?
Then you don't make a bracha on it, then if you're drinking something that's not normal to drink.
But if you mix it with
something else, so then you would make haste on it. The details are in Shulchan Aruch.
You know.
Okay. Now, but here's not the place to talk about it.
This isn't
the place to talk about it in detail. Okay.
Beis
okay. Hashem, a few years from now, we'll start over shots. We'll get to brachas. We can talk about it then. Okay. Anyway, the point is, other fruits are not like that. Their juices are downgraded. They go down a level, and they go down to the true levels. Actually, they go down from go down to shackle. The chiddush is, you shouldn't think that grapes are considered important mainly for the grape juice, for the wine, olives for the olive oil, and therefore a person makes a neder from grapes, then maybe he should be also in wine and so forth. No. Because you get according to Lashon Ne'adim.
That's just
an idara. Yeah. But if he says, a koinam on these grapes or olives that I won't taste, also behen, then he's over yotzben, then he's also in them and anything that comes out of them. Because then again, you're back to the problem of time.
Also.
Wait. All you Rami Bachama, the Gemara says, I have a question, Rami Bachama asks. The Mishnah had mentioned the difference between the beginning and the end of our Mishnah. There's two phrases that are different. One is that he uses the word elu, and one is that he uses the word she'eni toyim. Which one is the key? Elu davka or she'eni toyim davka? What's the key one? Is it just that he says elu, these grapes or these olives, that would be enough to make it that now he's also in the grape juice? Or only if he says she'eni toyim, the fact that he says that I won't taste, implying anything that has to do with taste? So let's consider. If you're going to say that the word elu is the key phrase, she'eni toyim lomalvi, then why would the Mishnah continue with the word she'eni toyim? Let it just say, koinim zeisim ma'novim elu, and we would say he's also in the grape juice. The answer is, hakamash malon, the chidush of that might be, da'afagav da'omet she'eni toyim, even the Mishnah would be saying, even if he says she'eni toyim, and therefore you would think he's talking about something having to do with taste, so therefore the juice should be also, e da'omet elu mitzah ve'iloi loy. You might argue that only if he says elu is it actually also, and otherwise not. Otherwise, she'eni toyim by itself doesn't add anything to the basic koinim zeisim ma'novim. So what is it? Is the elu that makes the difference, or the she'eni toyim? Omar Rava, Toshma, come, let's try to bring a proof from a mission later on in the next parak. One or the other. Let's consider if we can figure out whether it's the elu or the she'eni toyim that's key. Someone says koinam peiros ha'elu alai. Somebody says a koinam on these fruits for me. Or koinam hein lafi, or he says they're koinam for my mouth. Also b'chiluf fein u'gidulehen. Then he's also in not only the fruits themselves, but also anything that would be exchanged for them. So for example, he goes and sells the fruits and now has money and buys something else with it. He'd be also in that something else. Or u'gidulehen, or anything that grows from them. So he takes a seed from the fruit and plants it and it grows a new tree. He'd be also that also. Habi yotzeh ben mutter, which would imply, though, apparently he is mutter in what comes out of them. He is mutter in the juice. Which the Ran points out that now the point is like this. If you were going to say that the word elu is the key phrase, then you would have to say he's also in three things, right? You have to say he's also in anything that you get out of exchanging them, anything that you get from growing new plants from them, and their juice. Which one would be the bigger chiddush? The juice. Even though the juice is nothing like the original fruit, nevertheless it's still osur, as opposed to chilufin and gidulein, where you still have the original fruit. So if the Mishnah had meant to tell us then that when you say elu, you are in fact also in the juice, it should have mentioned that. It shouldn't have only mentioned chilufin and gidulein. It should have also mentioned the juice. The fact that it doesn't seems to prove that elu is not the key phrase. She'eni toyim. That Mishnah in the next paragraph doesn't mention she'eni toyim. Therefore, your taka mutter in the juice. That would answer Rami Bahama's question. The answer is no. The Gemara says, "Hu adin dafilu b'yoyts mehen osur." No, you could say that the Mishnah meant that you are in fact also in the juice as well. V'ha adifal leilashmin and b'chilufan kigudulein dami. No, but on the contrary, what the Mishnah is telling us is in a way a bigger chiddush. That the something that you get from exchanging it for money, even though it's not the actual fruit, it's only the value of the fruit that you exchange it for money, nevertheless it's also how much more so anything that comes out of the fruit itself, which therefore includes gidulayim, and as a matter of course also includes the juice which came out of the actual fruit. Rather, the Mishnah may not be mentioning that. You thought to begin with that it would be more of a chiddush to mention the juice, and therefore you should be mentioning it. Adrabe, it may be less of a chiddush. The bigger chiddush is once you're telling me that even the value of the fruit is also to you, if you exchange it for something else, how much more so the juice that came out of the fruit itself? So no proof from that Mishnah. Okay, Toshma. Come, let's continue for a proof from the next part of that Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, She'eni oichol v'she'eni toim. If somebody says about fruit that I won't eat it and I won't taste it, mutter b'chilufein v'gidulein. In that case, he is mutter in what you exchange the fruit for and what grows from the fruit. Because he only said I won't eat or taste the fruit itself as opposed to these things. Ha ha yoytze mehen osur, which would seem to imply that what comes out of them is osur. So there you
because
l'chora, if the Mishnah only mentioned chilufein and gidulein, then the implication is but the juice would be osur. Yeah. And again, the answer is not necessarily no. You could say I did l'nasa b'reisha yaitz mehen. No, since the first part of the Mishnah did not mention the case of the juice, again, because it's less of a chiddush than mentioning chilufein. L'nasa nami b'sefer yaitz mehen. So the sefer doesn't mention the juice either, even though indeed maybe the juice might be mutter. So you again, you don't really have a proof from the wording of that Mishnah. Tashma. Amar of Yehuda, Maisav, we have it on Amar Aleph. We learned Maisav also of Tarfon Alai Beitzim Shinis Bashlu Yimai. We said on Amar Aleph, in the case of meat that was cooked together with eggs, where if the meat is also to you, Rabbi Yehuda said the eggs are also as well. Amar Uloi, and the Rabbanan told him, no, Amasai is not Shama Bosa Zer Alai. No, only if the person says, this meat is also to me. Shanodim and Adobim and Asara Ba'acha Vieshba Menotin Tam Hareza also. Because if somebody makes a neder from something and it gets mixed in with something else and it gives a flavor, then it's also. So we see from that. Now, in that case, he didn't say anything about toyim. He just used the expression bosa zeh. And the Chachamim are saying that anything that has the flavor of it is also. So that should answer the question. Zeh and elu are the same thing. One's singular, one's plural. So yes, if a person were to say peiris elu, going back to our Mishnah, zeh simban of elu, that should be enough to ask for the juice. You don't have to say she'eni toyim. That answers Rami Bahama's question. And the Gemara says, okay, fine. Well, there's a halacha like the Chachamim, though. Sigmar says, fine. You know what? Let's change the question a little bit. The Elu Loikom Boyalon the Davkahu. Fine. Let's say then that the word Elu, there's no question if you say Elu that's enough to answer the case of it. Fine. Because we have the previous Mishnah that tells us so. What if the person does not say elu? What if he only says zeisin v'anavim she'eni toyim? He doesn't use the word elu, but he says the word she'eni toyim, that I won't taste them. Then do we say does it include the juice or not?
Before we weren't sure
if one or the other, if he says elu or if he says she'eni toyim. Now we know. If he says elu, fine, it means the juice. But if he says she'eni toyim, does it also include the juice?
Only, right?
If he only says she'eni toyim, right, does it include the juice or not? Toshma, come, let's prove from the Mishnah we had yesterday. Dog, dogim she'eni toyim. Person says fish or fishes that I won't taste. We discussed about the pros and cons of what dog and dogit mean. Also, ben beg dodim ben ketanim. You're also to eat any kind of fish, whether big or small, ben chayim ben mevushalim, whether raw or cooked. Umutar betris trufa or betzir. But we said you're allowed to eat tuna fish, which is mashed up, or you're allowed to eat sir, the fish juice, even though it's got some of the fish guts mixed in with it. No, so you see therefore that saying she'eni toyim does not ask you in the juice. Just like over there you say dogim she'eni toyim and you're allowed to have the fish juice, the fish brine, the same thing. If you say zesim she'eni toyim, you should be allowed to have grape juice. It should only mean that the grapes themselves are awesome. The answer is no. Amar Rava ukvar yotzemehen. So Rava says not necessarily, because you could say that there's a difference between whether the juice was pressed out before the neder or not. When are you mutter in the fish juice if, when you made the neder, the juice already existed? The juice already existed.
Separately?
No, they may all be in the same barrel, but whatever. The point is that the juice already existed, it wasn't still within the fish. So therefore, you could say that, yes, it was never included when... No, but that's the thing. The difference would be, though, that if a person says, these grapes are also to me, and then he presses them, maybe indeed the juice that comes out of them would be also. Not these grapes. Yes. These grapes for sure is also. If he says, grapes, I won't taste. The argument might be that with the fish, we're talking about when is he mutter to drink the fish juice if it is already pressed out from the fish beforehand. Whereas if it wasn't, then he tackle would be also. Same thing over here. If he says that I won't taste grapes, then it would include the grape. It would include any juice that's squeezed out of the grapes after that nether. So you still have no proof one way or the other. And because you don't have any proof, then since the Gemara leaves it unproved, then we go l'chumra. We go l'chumra, meaning that it's also.
Why do we go l'chumra?
But that's in general with nedarim. We have to go l'chumra when we have a suffix because daraisa, make a daraisa l'chumra. However, the Ran goes on to say when would we say that he's also, why would we say Taka that he's also in the juice? The reason might be for a different reason. The fact that he went into this kind of detail by saying She'eni Toyim might be itself reason enough to say that he meant to include the juice. But, for example, suppose that he meant to include that the juice is also.
That's why I made the distinction?
That would be why, by going into the detail of saying She'eni Toyim, that itself might be reason enough to say that therefore the juice is also to him. But what if he says, for example, instead of using the word She'eni Toyim, that I won't taste, what if he says She'eni Ozel, that I won't eat them? That's not going into such a detail. Maybe taka only means to include eating the actual grapes, but not drinking the juice. Or maybe not. So therefore, you could argue that Ram says that in that case, you could argue either way.
Applies only to the not to the juice, just to the meat.
Yeah. Well, right. Exactly. Only to the flesh of the. Only to the flesh of the. Yeah. Right. So. So the Ran discusses the pros and cons of it, and also whether there'd be a difference between a neder and a shvur in that regard. The bottom line is, he says, the Rambam says there's no difference whether you say oichel or toyim, and whether it's a neder or a shvur. In all cases, the juice is going to be osur. However, because it's a suffix, you wouldn't get malchus for it in that case. If you said elu, the Gemara established that means to include the juice, and therefore there's no question, it would be osur midaraisa, and you'd get malchus. But if it's the case of toyim or oichel, then you wouldn't get malchus because it's a suffix. But it is osur. Yeah.